Today I want to run by you some quick ideas relating to the letter Hey. Okay, the Hey. So one of the things is, what is the significance of the letter Hey? So let's try to go through things very quickly. Number one, it's very interesting that when we say Hashem's name, and really when we do not want to say Hashem's name, we say Elokei. We pronounce a Hey as a Kuf. Why do we do that? Why do we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, if we're not actually davening? So the answer, I never knew this, because the truth is a hey and a kuf are almost identical in the way they are, the form. Because what is a hey? It's like a dal with a little dot. What is a kuf? It's exactly the same thing, but just longer. So that somehow became the minuk. It stuck with us to pronounce Elokei when we want to say Hashem's name. We can make it any other letter. We could say Eloba. We can exchange the hey with the base. No, it's being that since it's so similar in appearance, we exchange those two. Now, next idea. The hey, the Zohar says, has the most kedusha. From all the letters of the Aleph Beis, it has the most kedusha. Why? Because it takes the least effort to pronounce the hey. Ha. Ha. You just have to breathe a little bit. Every other letter requires a small amount of
no tongue,
no lips, no throat.
Aleph also.
No, you have to bend down a little bit more. Hey, relative to Aleph is easier to express. Therefore, that represents spirituality. Because anything that is removed from the Olam HaGashmi, Gashmi is anything which is material, anything which has to do with Olam HaGashmi is mundane, lacks sanctity. Something which is not material is spiritual. Being the hay has the least degree of physicality to it, it represents spirituality. And therefore, that is why the letter hay is used to refer to Hashem. The hay is a letter which, whenever you want to write Hashem's name, so you write the letter hay. Why is the letter hey always the letter that is used in reference to Hashem? Hashem is Yudke Vavke. Hashem is or Yudke. Or Eke Asher Eke. Where does the letter hey come to serve as a symbol for Hashem's name? And the answer is because it takes the least effort. And it takes the least effort from all the 22 Aleph, the Aleph Beis, that represents spirituality. Because spirituality is something which is not Megushim. Olam HaNeshama doesn't take up any space. It's only Olam HaZeh that has Gashmis. And that's why the Hey is to represent spirituality. And going a little bit further, is how did Hashem create man? Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. Hashem blew the spirit of life in his nostrils. Life came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world through blowing. Ha! When you blow, that's how you pronounce the letter Hey. Ha! Blowing. Blowing is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected with this world, connected with man and his creation. Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. Okay, let's go to another idea. The letter Hey, okay, there are two people that say the same exact word, Rav Chaim Vital and the Perush HaTor on the Chumash. He says something very interesting, that the letter Hey, for some reason, it's used for a woman in the keva. Zohar, anything that's feminine always ends off with a hey. Shamar, shamra, she guarded. Hey always indicates in the keva. Therefore, what is the overwhelming characteristic of a nekeva? The koyach to give birth, haylada. So the Rav Chaim Vital says, from the four imahos who produced the Yud Beis Shvatim, we have Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Three of the four gave birth without any difficulty whatsoever. Leah, she had six children. Zilpah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, each one had two. No problem. What?
Their names end with a hey.
All of them have a hey in their name. The only one that had a hard time giving birth was Rachel. So what did she do? She took for herself Bilhah. Bilhah has two hays. So by giving over Bi'ula Yibonem Imena, I can take from her one hay. You can give me one of your hays, I'll take you into my home. You'll give me one of your hays, I'll also marry to have a child. Rav Chaim Vital says this. This is not the word that I would say. So that's a very interesting idea. Yeah, it is. It is. This is the Torah. The Torah himself, the one who wrote the Torah, he says this vart. He says, hey represents Nikeva. The Koyach, the characters in Nikeva is her Lada. The four mothers who produced the Yud Beis Shvatim all have hays in their name. That's why they had no problem giving birth, except for Rachel. She needed Bilah that two hays. Oh, interesting idea. Now, hay in Halacha is very significant. Chometz and Matzah, the only difference between Chometz and Matzah is the difference between the Ches and the Hay. Chometz and Matzah have the same letters. Matzah represents Kedusha, Utahara, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Chometz represents the Sa'ar Shebe Yitzhak, represents the Yitzhak. What's the difference between Chometz and Matzah? That little teeny space in between that closes the Ches and Hay. So we learned yesterday. Yesterday we discussed the difference between the Dal and the Resh. Right, the difference between the Dal and the Resh. Echad El Acher. Hashem Echad El Acher. The difference is that teeny little dot. Teeny little dots make the world of difference. When it comes to Amalek, we spent a lot of time on this yesterday. The teeny difference. Same exact thing. This teeny little dot between the opening between the Hay and the Ches make all the difference between Chometz and Matzah. It's a very interesting point. By the way, Derech Agav, is that today, the way we write letters today has evolved over time. It's not so symbol. You go over to Sefer Torah, you have the Ksav HaShuas. Okay, Ksav HaShuas is a Shulchan Aruch. Mishneh Berurah, Chofetz Chaim came along, he revolutionized. The Mishneh Berurah revolutionized also. You know who also revolutionized? The someone who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Called Keses HaSofer. There are two people who are responsible for everything that we have today in Safras, B'zman HaZeh, in modern times. Chofetz Chaim and Rav Gansfri, the same one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote a sefer called Keses HaSofer, the Quill of the Scribe. And this sefer is the basics of the laws of Safras, of how to write a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzot. And the fact that if you want to get a Ksaf Kabbalah, you can't just today, in modern times, hang up a shingle and say, here I am, I'm a Sofer. I mean, you do whatever you want, it's a free country, but you're going to have a hard time selling Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzot. You have today, there's an industry standard. You have to have what's called Ksaf Kabbalah, like Smicha. Just like you want to be a practicing rabbi, you need to have a smicha, you need to be licensed. So today you need a smicha. If you want to be a rabbi in any type of shul, the Orthodox shul, they'll say you have smicha. They'll want smicha from a real yeshiva. They'll go look at it. You want to go to YU, you went to this, you went to that yeshiva. They'll want to see a real smicha. Okay, there are people who give private smichas. Okay, if that Talmud Chacham is accepted to be Rebbe Talmud Chacham, they'll accept it as well. But you have to be licensed. So who gives a license to be a sofer? There are really two organizations. One called the Vad Mishmer Stam. There are two or three organizations that give smicha. And in order to get smicha from them, it's not called smicha, it's called ksav kabbalah. That means you have received permission to serve as a scribe. And in order to get ksav kabbalah, you have to know inside out the sefer called keses hasofer. And that was written by the same one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Same exact person.
The style of writing has changed over 1,000 years?
To a certain degree, yes. To a certain degree,
from 2,000 years ago,
you can't say that. Right? You can't say that. It's like a cursus to say you can definitely read it, but on the other hand, the Chofetz Chaim, he wrote a kuntras called for the Mishneh Berurah called Mishnah Sofer, Mishnah Soferim. Mishnah Seferim, and he very detailed description describes every little nuance of every single letter, how it's to be written, and that became very popular. It's accepted, and that's the standard. Everything is based. If you take out the tzil, they have the tzil of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was like Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, it's going 250 years ago. But the Chasam Sofer was the Godel Hadar in every way and form you can imagine. And his tefillin, we have them. We have his tefillin. We have it. Today, if a Sofer would write tefillin like the Chasam Sofer, couldn't sell it. They're kosher. There's no question. It's a different standard today. I don't not acceptable. It's just today things have been standardized a little bit differently. Now there's much room in halacha, there's a lot of leeway. Okay, how could that possibly be? That's a discussion in and of itself. But the point is, today, when we write a letter hey today, it's very obvious the difference between a hey and a ches. Now, I'm not talking about a ches of two zions. Okay, the way we write a ches, b'zman hazeh, it's very unique. You have two zions, and you have this little thing connecting the two. Little thing. Really, a ches doesn't have to be like that. A ches can just be a bar on top and two legs coming down. That's the way we have it in the print, in the Chumashim. A hey... So if you tell me, let's take a sitter, right? Go open up a regular sitter, you have a letter ches and letter hey. So I can right away see, here's a hey. There's a very significant gap in between the leg of the hey and the opening on the top, and the ches is fully connected. So you won't make any mistake. That's not it appears that in ancient times, that's not the way it was. In ancient times, there was a teeny, teeny little gap in between the top of the ches and the leg of the hey. Teeny little gap. Such as a little gap, you have to look very closely to see the difference. So that really, when it comes to chametz and matzah, there's really a teeny right. little difference between the two.
Small print in a siddur now, it's sometimes something enough.
It's hard to see the ches and the hey.
Ches and the hey is very
on very small print. But even in big print, even in big print it was like that. Even in big print it used to be such a thing like that. But again, today everything is a little bit different. There's a very big gap today with the way the letter hey is written in the Sefer Torah and the way the letter ches is written. It's a totally strange two zions and an arch. So you wouldn't make any mistake about it. Anyway, in our times, but going back in ancient times, this is a very interesting point. And in fact, that's why Chazal many times they make drashas where they interchange the hey and the ches. When you make a drasha, you could interchange these two letters. Like I say, v'chadatcha. It says no, it's like hadar. So when Chazal make a drasha, don't read hadar, read it hadat. Interchange the hey with the ches because they look so similar. They look so similar in appearance. Okay, let's go to another idea. The letter hey. So they have chametz and matzah. What else do we have in halacha about the letter hey? Sukkah. The letter hey represents the minimum requirements for a sukkah. Sukkah. Through that, a samach of hey. Samach is closing all four sides. That is the ideal sukkah. To have a sukkah that's four walls. Then we have a chaf, a sukkah that has only three walls. And then we have the bare minimum. Skeleton size sukkah. What's a skeleton sukkah? Not a pop up sukkah, but it has two walls and a mashahu. Two walls and a mashahu is a kosher sukkah, and that is represented two walls and a mashahu, a small amount. That is represented in the letter hey. Sukkah, four walls, chaf, three walls, hey, two walls, and a teeny little amount. So hey represents the smallest size sukkah. In fact, Chazal tells us when Mashiach comes, the entire Klal Yisrael will be in one sukkah and will be in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chazal is called Hashem's sukkah, and a sukkah, the smallest kosher sukkah, is the letter hey. So it all goes hand in hand that Hashem, the letter hey represents Hashem, represents Hashem's protection, and the letter hey represents Hashem's sukkah. It's the smallest size of a sukkah which can encompass and can shelter Klal Yisrael. Okay, now comes to another idea, a new idea. I want to elaborate upon this in a little more detail. The letter hey in Chazal, so the Gemara says this represents the concept of teshuvah, of repentance. Why? Because the letter hey has two openings. The letter hey, it's closed right, on two sides, and then the bottom is opened. What's the opening? The opening that a person wants to sin. In this world, it's a free world. It's not just a free country, it's a free world. The person wants to sin, go right ahead. The door is open. The bottom of the letter is open. You can fall out the bottom. You can leave the fold. Person can do whatever he wants. No one in this world is confined in a box to conform to the rules. Hashem gave us the Torah. He told us what to do. You have free will. You want to do the mitzvahs? Do the mitzvahs. You don't want to do the mitzvahs? The bottom is open. Leave. Do whatever you want. It's up to you. Let's say a person leaves. He leaves. He decides he's not going to follow Hashem's will. He's going to sin. And he leaves. And then he wakes up and he says, what did I do? I was foolish. I have sinned. I want to do tshuva. So Hashem says, you can do tshuva. Come back. But when you come back, you don't come back the same way you left. You come back. There's another opening. The letter hey is the only letter in the entire Aleph Beis which has an inside which is a box inside, and has two openings. The letter Chaf is also open on one side. Right? The letter Chaf is open on one side. You can leave. You can leave the fold. You want to come back, you got to come back the same way you left. The letter Beis also has an opening. You can leave. But you want to come back, you got to come back the same way you left. The letter Ches is a box. If you want to leave, you got to come back the way you left. The letter Tav has an opening. You want to come back, you got to come back the same way. Are there any other letters? I think those are the only letters. The only letter that's a box that allows you to come back, but allows you to come back a different way, is the letter He. And therefore, the Gemara says that is what Teshuva is all about. Now, let me explain to you. It's a Hashgacha Pratis. Someone told me this idea this week. Someone told me, I don't have always a chance, rarely have a chance to read the New York Times, but there was an article in the New York Times describing post-traumatic syndrome. And they've done the following experiment with mice. Fascinating article. Maybe anyone read the article? I think this past Sunday. So, post-traumatic syndrome. They've taken mice. They've tortured the mice. How do they torture the mice? The mother mouse gave birth to a child, to a baby mouse, and they took the baby away from the mother. The moment the baby, first they let the mother be with the child for a few moments, and they took the baby away. And they separated mother and child. They separated the mother and child for 10 minutes. They have all the data. I didn't read the article. Someone told me. For a certain amount of time, short period of time, the mother, they can sense, I don't know how, but they have sensors, that the mother was experiencing trauma. Where is my baby? And the baby, I assume, also they have sensors, also is going through trauma. Where is my mother? Short amount of time, they reunited them. Oh, Shalom Al Yisrael. They were reunited. The sensors, the trauma dissipated, subsided. Everything is fine. They did it again. They separated again. New situation. New mice. There's an unlimited, infinite number of mice out there to make experiments on. Separated the mother and the child for a significant period of time. A long period of time. Whatever significant is. The mother went crazy. Mother and child experienced serious trauma. The longer the period of time, the greater the trauma the mother and the child experience due to their separation. We can all appreciate what this is all about. And then they bring them back together. And they discover when they reunite them, it doesn't take away the trauma. They're so traumatized, it doesn't make a difference. The damage is done to such a degree, it's irreversible. Unbelievable. Then they've taken the same amount of time, okay, they've taken the mother and the child, separated them again for the same amount of time where the damage is irreversible, but they reunited them. Here's the chiddush. They reunited them in a different environment. They took the mother to a new cage, and brand, everything was new. New terrain, new background, new food, new environment, new wallpaper, everything was new, new gravel, new toys, and they brought the child in a new environment. Now, I don't know the details, but the trauma dramatically was decreased, dissipated, I don't know 100%, but there's a dramatic difference in the decrease of trauma when they were reunited in a different environment. And the article, this was told to me, we have to go look up the article in New York Times very recently, is that this is was it was on a discovery that this is a very significant approach to dealing with trauma. You can't go, I know as a child I used to go see, I don't know, on some type of, what a technique is, you take the patient, you relive the experience. And in reliving, you guide them, and this time when you guide them through the difficult experience, you help them, and that's the recovery. If you want to cure the trauma, you have to go and cure out of the environment. You have to go in a roundabout way. You can't go relive the experience and try to remove the trauma in the same way you came from. Okay, so that's what they're trying to show from the mice. They're showing from the mice it doesn't work. So when I was preparing for this shiur, it hit me like a sledgehammer. It's exactly because that's what I saw in the sefer. Here's the sefer that I use. A lot of things I say come from this sefer. Relatively new sefer from Vichil Michel Stern. So he develops this. He over and over, he says, Chazal, why dafka the letter Hey? The letter Hey represents the concept of repentance. Because the letter Hey is a box, and Hashem put you in the box, and Hashem gave you Bechira. You want to leave? Go right ahead. The door is open. Leave. Gezun to hate. But if you want to do tshuva, you're always welcome. But when you come back, you're going to come back through a different entrance. So why the hey? Why not the base? Why not the tough? Why not the chaf? Because those letters, if you want to come back, you got to come back the same way you left. Here you have another option. You need another entrance in order to give you the ability to be chozer b'shuva. And that's exactly what this article in the New York Times has shown when it comes to trauma. Because when a person is chote, you to a certain degree are going through a traumatic experience. You are rebelling against Hashem. Okay, how does that fit into the concept of trauma? But there is something to it. When you chozer b'shuva, you have to come in through a different entrance. And that's why the letter Hey is the letter that represents the concept of teshuvah. And what's the proof to this in the Shemona Esrei? What's the bracha what's the only bracha that begins with the letter Hey in the 19 brachas of the Shemona Esrei? Hashiva Shavteinu Kivarishon, the concept of tshuva, of coming out. No, Hashiva Hashiveinu, Hashem Elech. Hashiveinu. Both of them. Okay, they're both. Okay, so I gotta get my aleph base straight.
Same concept.
When you're coming back, Hashiva Shavteinu. Yeah.
And what about Shin?
That's not called an inside. This is not the way we write a Shin in the Sefer Torah. This is the way we write a Shin in the Sefer Torah. There's no toich. There's no inside of a Shin. There's no.
As I say, it's just
all of the letters that have an inside. You have more than you only have one way to come back inside.
Okay, let's say this is not inside.
Right, it's not called an inside. So let's say, what about a kuf? A kuf is not a box. A kuf is not a box. What? It's not a box. We're talking about letters that are like a box inside. A ches, a chaf, a beis, and a hey. So in that category, a kuf is not considered to be a box. A kuf is not the letter of tshuva, because we don't view a kuf, especially when we write a little Sefer Torah, it's a whole different category. That's a very interesting idea with regard to the letter hey. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a simple idea that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's talk about men and women. Always get into trouble when we talk about marriage. Ki b'ka Hashem tzur oylamim. How did Hashem create this world? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world of two letters. Ki b'ka Hashem yud-kei. Ki b'ka. There are many different ways to translate the pasuk, but one of the more Kabbalistic, mystical way translation is ki, because, or with, be, yud ke, the letters yud, and the letter hey, Hashem tzur olamim, the Ribbono shel Olam created this world. Chazal expound upon this pasuk, that Hashem created olam hazeh and olam haba. Hashem created Olam Hazeh with the letter Hey, and He created Olam Haba with the letter Yud. How do you know Hashem created the letter Olam? It's a Ferish of Pasuk in Torah. Pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. Eile tol eile solados ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz bihi boram. And there's a small little letter Hey here. And Chazal Darshin behei biram. Hashem created this world with the letter Hey. Whatever that means. But what it does mean for our purposes is that the letter He represents Gashmias, the Olam HaGashmi. The letter Yud represents spirituality. The only way you can, purpose of this world is obviously to synthesize spirituality with materialism, with Gashmias. That's why if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to go to Olam Haba, only the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create the Neshamas to put them in the Olam of Ruchnias. If a person in this world only follows Gashmias, he's doomed. He'll get sucked up in this world in Tivus Olam Hazeh. Has to be the purpose of living in this world is the proper balance, the proper blend, the proper synthesis of Ruchnius with Gashmius. What is marriage? Marriage is exactly marriage is. Marriage is the complete, the perfect form of the balance, the synthesis of Ruchnius and Gashmius. And that's why when a man, what does the man have? They both have the letters Aleph and Shin. Eish, it's famous for it, Aleph, but I want to come to this another point. Aleph Shin, Sheh Brachos, everyone heard this a million times, but we'll come to the new point in a moment. Aleph and E, both man and woman have the Aleph and the Shin Eish. They both have fire. They're both combative. Man is very rough. Woman's even rougher. They're both Eish. But man has a Yud. And the woman has, Isha has the hay. So when they come together, man is providing, man's supposed to be in charge of Ruchnis, and the wife is in charge of the Gashmis. You're not getting any political statements over here, you're not getting into. But and the combination of Yud and the hay together creates the synthesis of Kibukah, it's a new world. You bring together Kibukah, Hashem, Tzolamim, you're recreating the world, you're synthesizing Ruchnis with Gashmis. Some of them far say a little bit, didn't they say that the Yud represents a man? Look in the Gemara, a man has 10 obligations to his wife. I don't have the Gemara in front of me. 10. Kesher, Ksus, V'oina, and then there are other things in the Rabbanan. A woman, the Gemara says, has 5 obligations to her husband. 5. Only half. What a man has to do for a wife must do for her husband. And therefore, that's why man has the Yud, the woman has the Hay. Mamel, that's another remiss. Okay, but let's go to another idea. Another idea of the letter of the letter hey is that is a ksuba. A ksuba, what is it? When a man marries a woman, so he writes for the marriage document. The marriage document is called a ksav. It's a ksav. Ksav. So why do we add to the ksav the vav and the hey? So first of all, okay, I'm going to let me just jump a little bit ahead. Is that in the Gemara, the letter hey is Hashem together with the letter vav? Let's review the Gemara. This is like the Gemara and Masech the Shabbos. The Gemara Darshan is the letters of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Aloif, Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalit, Gimel, be gracious to the poor. Hey Vav, the two letters Hey Vav together. The Gemara says Zo Shemo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where do we ever find the letter of Hashem? Really, Hashem's name is Yud Kei. I told you it's Yud Kei. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem's name is Eka Sher Eka. There's a shame of Ayin Bey. All these shemos, but we do say it once a year on a Sukkot. Ani Vaho Hoshiana. I va, the va is a vav achibar. Ho, ani vaho me Hashem. Hashem is also called ani. Ani Hashem. Hashem is also named, but vaho me Hakadosh Baruch Hu, me together with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but in this context, the he and the vav together is vaho. Is Hashem's name. So Hey Vav together represent a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, when it comes to Ksuba, we add the Vav Hey. Is when you write the Ksuba is not just a. It's a very scary document. It says in case of death or divorce, it's really all it says, in case of death or divorce, the man will obligate himself to the wife a certain amount of money. So why do we hang it up on the wall? Why do many people hang it up on the wall? It's not a very pleasant document. So. It's very, you should know where it is. That's the greatest advantage of hanging up the ksuba on the wall. Many people don't even know where the ksuba is. If you don't know where the ksuba is, you're in trouble. Because then you're living in sin. You have to know, you have to go to the rabbi and have the rabbi write for you what's called the ksuba irchasa. So hanging up on the wall is wonderful, even if it's a very mundane, bland, ugly document. At least you know it's on the wall, you know where it is. But it also represents a degree of kedusha. The fact that a man has the obligations. Until the time of ksuba, if a man got angry at his wife, he would just say to his wife, get lost. Out. Here's a get. I don't want to see you ever again. A ksuba is a deterrent. Because if a person wants to get a ksuba, he has to pay a lot of money. It's a lot of money to pay a ksuba. It's a serious business. People get divorced today. Today, I think it's like a ksuba, I think it's about $60,000. So that's, what does it cost to live a comfortable life for 1 year for a single person, to live a comfortable life according in a standard 50, 40, 50, 60, depends where you live. it's at least $40,000 ksuba. Rav Moshe writes, right in his time, it was $30,000 ksuba. So it's a deterrent. A deterrent is security. It's a security to the marriage, and that brings in kedusha. When a person is locked in, he's secure that the marriage is not going to break apart because he can't. He's locked himself in with a deterrent of a ksuba. He has taken this ksav, he has instilled it with sanctity, and that's why it's not just ksav, it's ksuva. You add the Shem Hashem. Hey, Vav, Zo Shmo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani V'ho Hoshino. You take the Ksav, you add into the Ksav the Shem Hashem, you give that Ksuva sanctity. The Ksuva sanctity in that it solidifies the marriage, and when the marriage is solidified, it brings Kedush Ish V'Isha Shalom B'Nehem, Shechina B'Nehem. Now you have the Yud and the Hey together. The Ish provides the Yud, the woman provides the Hey. So now we have together the Shechina Yud Kei, the Hashem's name, the Shechina B'Nehem. Others want to say is that that we know that Yud Kei is only half of Hashem's name. Ki yod al kei ska milchama la Hashem ba molek midar dar. So the letters Yud Kei is only half of Hashem's name. What's the two missing letters of Hashem's name? Vav Kei. So when a man, when we get married, the man provides the Yud, the woman provides the Hey. You have half Hashem's name, but the marriage is a loose marriage because any moment he can just divorce her without any consequence. In order to guarantee the marriage not just to dissolve instantly, there has to be deterrence, there has to be safeguards. What's the safeguard? The safeguard is the ksuba. You just can't get divorced. Getting divorced is a big mess. Alimony. A lot of money has to be paid. It's not a simple thing to get divorced. Oh, so that solidifies the marriage. That upgrades the Yud Kei to Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the ksav, we append to the ksav the Vav and the Hey from ksav to ksuva. So you add the Vav Kei to the Yud Kei. To upgrade it to Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have the full name of Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. Okay, now let's go to another idea. But we mentioned over here, this is very interesting, we mentioned over here that the Gemara says we get to the letter Hey. The letter Hey represents Hashem's name. It represents Hashem's name. In the par, where do we have the parsha of Shiduchim? Chayisar. Parsha Chayisar is the parsha of Shiduchim with Eliezer. What happens when the Shiduch is over? What does Eliezer say? May Hashem yotza hadavar. Right after Eliezer sees, after Lavan sees what's doing, nu it's min hashemayim Rivka and Yitzchak me Hashem yotza davar loyichol davar tevera. It's very interesting that if you look at the parasha of Shiduch, when Eliezer comes to the well, beginning with almost every single pasuk begins, well, not every, you have to look carefully, but a very, the ratio, the proportion of these psukim relative to the whole Torah is off the charts. It begins with always the first two words of almost every pasuk in the parish of Shaduchim begins with a vav and a hey. Vayosem ho'evet. Vav vayosem ho'evet. Vayikach ho'evet. Vayavrech hagemalim. V'hoya hanara. Vayehi hu. Vayorot soevet. Okay, there are many psukim, not every pasuk. Vayikot hu ish. Vatorot hanara. Okay, there are a very high number of psukim which vav and hey. Why? Because may Hashem yotza hadova. Vayuchol adaber tovara. And that combination, Vav Hey, is, as the Gemara says, is the Shem Hashem. When Shiduchim are in the process of developing, Hashem is there throughout the entire process. And being that these two letters represent Hashem's name, we have Hashem's name. There's something that's another interesting about it, that the letter Hey, in Parshas, and anyone who is a Baal Kori knows that the word Na'ara is many times in Tanakh, in Chumash, spelled without the hey. Nah, you read a Na'ara, even Rivka. Rivka is also called a Na'ara. The only time it's spelled with a hey is by the parasha of Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra there, when a man is motzi shema, he says that his wife was mezana, and that and he's a liar. It turns out he's a liar. Pasuk says he has to award the father of the girl 100 zuz, and lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav, he may not divorce for the rest of his life. So we have there it's spelled with a hey. So there's a var from the Gra. The Gra says the reason why there's no hey when we have the word naran, there's a hey by the parsha motzi shema, is because the word hey always represents nekeva, a woman. But it's not just in the cave, it represents a woman's attachment to a husband. Whenever the Torah speaks about a na'ara, a young girl who's not yet married, or is in the process of getting divorced, then it's always spelled na'ara without the hey, because this is a young girl that's loose. She's not attached to her husband. The only time you have the word na'ara with a hey is when the girl is attached to her husband. When you have a woman who is designated to a man, and in the case of Motzi Shemra, where it was a lie, and because it's a lie, male of this man and woman are going to be bound together forever, that's where the word Na'ara is spelled with the letter Hey. When you have a single woman and she's not attached, we always associate the word Hey, oh, it's Nekeva. Not necessarily, it's true. The letter Hey represents a concept of femininity, but it also represents a concept of being attached to a male. And when you have a woman being attached to a male, then you have the word the hey. When you don't have it, then the hey is absent. Akiva. How do you spell Akiva? Anyone here have the name Akiva? Anyone have children named Akiva? Grandchildren? So some spell it with now, some spell it. What's that? What are the two Ramazim? The two Ramazim are or we say this, when did Rabbi Akiva die? Rabbi Akiva was killed Erev Yom Kippur. Was killed Beinash as in the beginning of Yom Kippur. How do we commemorate his death? Or the first thing he said in Yom Kippur is Or Zorua Latzadik Uliyishre Lev Simcha. The end of the letters of Or Zuz Rebbe Reish Akiva. And according to this pasuk, Or Zorua Latzadik Uliyishre Lev Simcha. What's Simcha? The last letter, the Seif Tevois. Hey Simcha is Hey. So since this is the remes, this was revealed to the, you know, the Sif called the Or Zorua. The Or Zorua was written by a person whose name was Akiva. And he did not know to spell Akiva with an aleph or a hey. And it was revealed to him in a dream. So he says that the remes, the name Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, is Or Zorua Latzadik Uliyishre Leif Simcha, Soif Tevois. And the last letter of hey, Simcha, is hey. That's a raya. The proper way to spell the Akiva is with a hey. And that's why we commemorate Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he was one of the Aser Gemalchus. He died of Yom Kippur. And we commemorate it with that pasuk, Or Simcha. However, other Mepharshim said the remes Rabbi Akiva is the word Avir Yaakov, the most mighty of Yaakov. Rabbi Akiva was the foundation of Torah Shebal Peh. He is called the Avir, the mighty one of Yaakov. The word Avir Yaakov are all the letters of Rabbi Akiva. Problem is, it's only the letters of Rabbi Akiva if it's spelled Akiva with an aleph. With an aleph. So the bottom line is, there are different minhagim. Some spell it with an aleph, some spell it with a hey. One little cute little thing with no. First of the end is Akiva. It's a very shock. I'm not going to get. Rachman al son of get. How do you spell it? Big problem. Some are two gitin, believe it or not. If someone's name is Akiva, so there are some piskim that will require that the person give a double get. One get is spelled with an aleph, and one get is spelled with a hey. Ksuba is not machbet, because ksuba is only midraban, and the spelling of ksuba doesn't really matter. We're very careful. A lot of Rosh Yeshiva people like to go and make trouble. They're very medactic. This way, how do you spell Kleinemis Kalman? You have a yud. You don't have a yud. All of these names. How do you spell New York? New York, Machlekes, Rav Moshe, and Rav Aaron Collard, there are different ways of spelling New York. It's very, whatever you spell, it doesn't make a difference. Hey, you try your best. You spell it, how do you spell,
Los Angeles.
There are a lot of things.
Massachusetts.
There are a lot of different names. There are many names which are a problem. But a get is a nightmare. That's what people charge. There are very few people today that are really bekeem in how to write a get. Because what you do when I get is, because the first thing I get is Chakiras Hashemos. When I get is written, Rachman Lutzlan, the first thing you have to investigate the name of the person. What is his name? So you got a name by Bris Milah, so what? That doesn't necessarily have any meaning. How you call to the, how a person can change his name. If that's not the way he was called when he was born, people call him Mike. And his name is Moshe. But everyone in the shul calls him Mike. So you in the ksuba, in the get has to be written Shmoy Moshe. Hamachune Mike. How do you spell Mike? How do you spell Mike? Not so simple. Okay, it's a nightmare. It's a big nightmare. Let's say a person has many. They call him business one name. They call him at home Moshe. 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 His wife calls him. His mother calls him Moshe. Still calling him Moshe. And his wife calls him Moses. Chamor. I once heard an Israeli say that I'm an Israeli. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael for so many years. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael so many years. But my native tongue, even though I'm here, I still speak English. I'll prove it to you that my mama lash is still English, even though I'm here for 50 years in Israel. Because if my wife says to me, Chamor. My wife calls me a chamor. I say, oh, it's so cute. She's calling me a chamor. But when my wife says, you donkey, then I understand. Then I understand. So just because you called one thing doesn't mean it has to... Whatever, enough said. And one little cute little thing I want to point out, and you say this every Shabbos, the letter Hey. This is something which I brought to my attention yesterday in the letter Hey. We say Tikanta Shabbos. Everyone knows in the Musaf on Shabbos Kodesh, we recite the letters backwards. Everyone, right? Tikanta Shabbos, Ratziso, Karbonosacha. The letters of the Aleph Beis go backwards. So all the letters are pretty good, but there's one letter that we cheat. I don't know the significance. I leave this to you to figure out the significance. There's one letter that we cheat in Tikanta Shabbos. What is that letter? It's the letter Hey. Let me turn to the Musaf. If I can only find the Musaf here in the Siddur. Tikanta Shabbos. Every single word, the word, the letter, the first letter is really what the word represents. Ratzisa, Kabanisecha, Tzivisa, Perushecha, Im, Siduri, Misachecha, Mengecha, Liolim, Kavod, Yinchalu, Tuamea, Chaim, Zahu, Vigam. Ho, Oy, Havim, Divareha. That's cheating. Because really it should say Vigam Oy Have. If you were getting had an assignment in high school to write this poem and you had a grammar teacher, they would give you an F. They would say, not Vigam Ho Oy Havim Divoreha. They would give you an F. They would say Vigam Oy Have Aleph. Oy have divoreha gidula bochar. Cheating to say the gam ho oy havim divoreha. It's cheating. However, that's the way it is. Obviously, it was done with. Listen, these were done. Whoever wrote the nusach, this is done with kedusha of tahara. It was done with a purpose.
But what?
It's hard to say poetic license when it comes to the Nusach of Musaf and Shabbos when it's done backwards. There must be something to it. There must be a reason why we're playing all the letters of the Aleph Beis. Here, the letter Hey stands out. Hey Hayidia. As you mentioned, the letter Hey represents the Hayidia, Shabbos. I need to tell you, the letter Hey is the Chamisha Chamshe Torah. That's obvious. But it's a very interesting point when we come over here. Let me just see if any other quick things I forgot to tell you before we wrap it up. Pretty much got in everything I wanted to tell you. Okay. One other quick thing is that there are only two letter strange oisios mishunos in the Torah with the letter Hey. There is Behi Baram in the beginning, right? Behi Baram in the beginning of the Torah. And what is the significance? I told you Hashem created the world with letter Hey. Or many want to say Be Avram. When they have a small letter, Torah is telling you make believe the letter is absent. And if the letter is absent, so you read the word without the letter. The Avram. Beyoin, the Pasuk says, back in the beginning of Bereishis, Eile todo shvav aretz, take out the hay. So the letters, it's not Beroy, you have to play out, you have to reverse the order of the letters. The Avram. Hashem created the world in the Zuchus of Avram. Avram Avinu, why? Because he was the first one to be makir that it's Hashem's world. He was the first one to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In his merit, Hashem created the world. And where's the big hey? Hala Hashem, Tigmul Zos. The question mark, the hey Hasha'ela. Hala Hashem, is this the way you behave? Is this how you repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it's the, I don't know. There are that many perushim, but I don't really find anything which is satisfactory to repeat to you. But these are the two osios mishunas in the Torah: the hay, the small hay, and the big hay. Have a wonderful day on the yom hay.